Well, good morning. This beautiful day God's given us. Looks like it'll be blessed with a little more rain. What do you think? On the Third Great Awakening, things are shaping up in Newberry. We were trying to wonder if we should have hot dogs or spaghetti. Ironically, the Newberry Historical Society has the Veterans Hall, so we'll be doing hot dogs outside. But it's shaping up well. Friday at 6 p.m. with a 7 o'clock p.m. Question and answer. You're looking at a timeline of the pilgrims to the revolution on Saturday at 1 p.m. going to 2 p.m. and then a question and answer. The real meaning of separation of church and state, and then having a Sunday school and preaching on Sunday with a meet and greet with the members of Third Great Awakening New England on Sunday with hot dogs outside and ice cream for the kids. So keep it in prayer. Things are still shaping, but I'm going to definitely be on the radio, WCNL, talking about it. I've sent a press release out. We'll see what happens with that. Hopefully get on WNTK. So we'll see. Maybe we'll see some things happening around here. But getting back to what we're supposed to be doing today, looking at God's Word. We've been looking at Timothy, trying to figure out how to set up the church, trying to figure out how to set up society. Today we look at a section of Scripture that is often ridiculed, often mocked, often ignored. And ignored because pastors are afraid to deal with it. Looking at what the world considers very outmoded ideas. A section looking at the role of women in a church and women in society. Now the question, do we trust God for our joy? Do we trust God's ways are the right ways? Do we trust God that He knew what He was doing when He created us? Or do we demand the rights that the world may give us? Look at all the rights we have out there. Women's rights, gay rights, pedophile rights. They're out there now. All these rights that people are demanding in society, they have invaded the church. Now, question, as we see all these rights, look at the TV today when you go home and see all these people demanding the rights, the right to bow in the football game if you happen to watch it. Have they improved society? Have they made our lives better? Can anyone say that society is better now than it was 50 years ago? Because we have lost our focus. We've lost our first love. To be relevant, the church has followed the rights movement to the detriment of biblical truths. Women have been elevated to pastoral positions, saying that certain parts of Scripture no longer apply to an enlightened society. But when you sever biblical truth from church doctrine, you get what Israel got just before God had Babylon remove them from the Promised Land. They set up idols in the very Holy of Holies that they may be relevant to the society around them and hopefully get some of the blessings from society around them. They didn't try to talk Israel away from worshiping idols. They accepted the idols to hopefully broaden their tent, just like churches are today. To satisfy women's rights, women were made pastors and deacons. As society followed for more rights, churches did the same thing, elevating homosexuals to pastoral and bishop positions. Sweden was the first, making Ebba Brun the first lesbian bishop in 2009. She completely severed the church from the Bible, demanding that crosses be taken down and that directions to Mecca be placed in every church, that Muslims coming in would feel more comfortable. Baal worship anybody? New Hampshire was the first in the United States when we elevated Eugene Robinson as the first gay bishop in the Episcopal Church. Following that, Mary Glasspole was made the first lesbian bishop in L.A. As with Robinson, it caused rifts in the church. Once you start a downward slide, that downward slide continues. It never stops. Karen Oblito followed in the Methodist Church as a lesbian bishop, and she called Jesus a bigot and denies biblical authority and the deity of Christ. But that church is very proud of their tolerance. I wouldn't want to say that. I'd be afraid of lightning bolts. We were talking about lightning bolts. I started saying that from here. I'd be afraid one of those lightning bolts would hit me as God showed his displeasure with my severing the truth from the church. When we demand rights, God will allow us to leave to chase those rights until we realize his way is the best way and we return to him looking in spirit and in truth at his word. As God left Israel as a nation, who were then returning in tribulation to accept their Messiah, The United States seeks the world's approval. The United States Church seeks the world's approval, accepting the rights of sinners in his church as it ignores his word. I prefer the privilege of serving Jesus Christ over my rights to live in the flesh in Satan's kingdom. Let us look at God's structure in the church and his infinite wisdom and grace in setting up his church for our joy and for our truth. So turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read from verses 9 to 15. So it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but, which becometh women professing godliness, with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your holy word, as we look at what you gave us for joy, as we look at your setting up families, church structures, leadership, Lord, let us look for with wisdom at how you determined our joy should be made. And Lord, we look at the roles of men and women in society, men and women in the home, men and women in the church, and we're thankful that you gave each of us different gifts, different strengths, different weaknesses that we may complete each other in joy, that not being superior, not being inferior, but being different. And Lord, we're thankful that you have given us that, the joy of knowing that we can have families that will complete each other as one, serving you in spirit and truth. And Lord, let us not look at the rights of society, but let us look at the privilege of serving a most holy God, the privilege of being adopted into God's family, the privilege of being a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and learn the rules of the family, learn how the family was set up, that we can serve you in spirit and truth and draw others. We ask it in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Reverend Adoniram Judson, a missionary to Burma, relates the following. A Karen woman offered herself for baptism. After the usual examination, I inquired whether she would give up her ornaments for Christ. It was an unexpected blow. I explained the spirit of the gospel and appealed to her own consciousness of vanity. I then read to her the apostle's prohibition in 1 Timothy 2:9. She looked again and again at her handsome necklace, and then, with an air of modest decision, took it off, saying, I love Christ more than this. In a church, especially in the modern, in the Western world, we worry way too much about our rights. Our only right is to spend an eternity in hell for rejecting the truth of Jesus Christ, for sinning against his holy order. That's the only right we possess. It's a privilege in the fact that we get to be adopted as sons of God. It's a privilege in the fact that he shed his blood, that by the shedding his blood, we can be forgiven of those sins and accepted as holy in his holy kingdom. But with that privilege comes responsibilities, commands given by his word, showing us the way of joy, to live in his presence, and being accepted into that kingdom. With the woman, the question is, do you love your rights, or do you love the privilege of serving God more? It's the only question there is. Now, there can be disagreements on things, but the word is where it shows us what we need to look at. Different churches and different people accomplish their roles in different ways. Just as brothers and sisters follow different paths to be successful good citizens, but to do so they must stay within the norms of that society. Our churches have different callings, different strengths, different roles, different areas they reach. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they need to stay within the bounds of the church society, God's kingdom. How many here are pilots? You all sinners, you're not doing what I'm doing. Again, we need to realize that he makes each one of us have different strengths so this church can be unified as a body, do the things to help each other. That is what he teaches us from his word. We show love by not demanding our rights in our ways. We show love by keeping his commandments. It's what he says in his word. Love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. They bring us joy as he created us and knows how we operate. How many women always complain about their husbands not reading the instruction manual? No, we think we have a better way. And after I build it four times and it still doesn't work, I read the instruction manual. Hey, it works then. We need to understand the same thing. He created us. He knows what makes it work. He knows where my missing screws are, and he can put them in. So with that, we need to realize and follow his way, the way of joy. Not our way, it's his way. Not our ideas, his word. Not society's wisdom, but his leading in the spirit. Seeking to serve him in spirit and truth. Now Romans 12:1 says that we are to be living sacrifices to Jesus Christ because of what he did for us as a sacrifice. A sacrifice has no rights. A sacrifice only has the privileges given to him by the master of then living the way the master wants. In this case, dealing with women in a church and society, we see for a woman's joy, she must show three things: modesty, a proper calling, and then her joy. So modesty. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Paul showing how everyone needs to lift up holy hands in prayer to God. He now turns his attention to women to caution them to remain holy, that they may be accepted by God, may have the joy of service, putting a spiritual focus on their labors, putting a spiritual focus on their lives. Not merely satisfying the flesh with vain adorning or using a natural beauty God gave a woman for the purpose of lust. Not dressing as chaste women, but the women to be chaste. That is not what we're supposed to do. Now, make no mistake. Women are the only part of creation that was made from refined material. Every other part of creation was made of mud. I was made of the dust. Okay? Women weren't. Women were made of Adam's rib. Refined material, and in many ways improved upon because it was refined material. We need to understand that role. We need to understand what God has done, the special gift that God gave us. It's a position to be honored in creation. It's a position that should be nurtured and not changed as the world seeks to change her spiritual beauty. Proverbs 12:4 says this, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." A woman should be that cherished crown, serving God as God intended, and cherished by the husband who to wear that crown to show his appreciation to God for that love that she gives him. Rotten women, on the other hand, rottenness to his bones, adorn themselves for the world, immodestly dressing to be chaste by men, using all the physical beauty God gave her to draw men to herself in the flesh, accentuating the parts of her body and dress and actions meant only to share with her husband in joy, and thinking nothing of it. Proverbs 30:20 says this, "Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. She dresses immodestly, walks provocatively, drinks to hide her shame as she falls to lust." Paul says they have shamefacedness. What does that mean? It means reserved and somewhat shy. And they have sobriety, sensible, appropriate action, controlled, letting the spiritual beauty show past the physical. Women are beautiful creatures. They were given gifts. When those gifts come out in the spirit, they are the most beautiful thing that God created. Related to this is outdoing our presentations, once again, to draw attention to the self. Wearing jewelry to the extent that would make Mr. T blush. I don't know if you ever watched, what was that show, Joe? A-Team, thank you. Mr. T, I pitied the poor fool. Well, he had so much gold on him, I don't know how he wore clothes. He covered everything. You know, that was mocking. He was wearing that to be funny. But you see women sometimes wearing that much jewelry to try to draw attention to herself and not to Christ. Nothing wrong with wearing some jewelry to accent the spiritual beauty God gave you. We're talking about overdoing it to draw attention. Peter calls it the plaiting of hair. What the plaiting of hair was is they would take strands of gold and put it into the hair so that the sun would catch attention, reflect in it. This way it catch attention to men. The plaiting of hair today might be the strange hairstyles you see, where they shave their heads off, they wear purple hair, they have unusual braidings, things like that, meant to draw attention apart from the physical beauty that God naturally gave her. All of this improper use of God's gift of physical beauty to satisfy lust. It's not the physical beauty that makes a woman special. It is the spiritual beauty that makes a woman special. The spiritual beauty that God gave her to complete the union of man and woman. Man has his own problems. Man has his own difficulties. I've preached many times on them. Women also have it. They're different. Each one given strengths, those strengths cause weaknesses. So he's dealing with women here. What do women need to do to have the joy that God intended? Women display Christ's love by her smile, her care, her patience, and her quiet demeanor. Strengths I have. Anyone agree with that? Why does everyone laugh when I say that? I don't get it. Mary completes me and helps me in those areas. By her quiet submissiveness, her quiet love, she teaches me how to do my job better. Without her, I wouldn't be able to do it near as well. Using significance God gave her, not demanding her own rights. As Romans 6:13 says, neither yield yourselves members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of joy. So their calling is to do exactly that, to have the right order. His order is perfect. His order brings joy. It's a privilege to live under that order. But our pride demands our rights beyond that perfect plan, which was why Peter and Paul, again, stressed women's roles in society so much. This isn't the only verses that talk about it. They're all over the Bible. Adam was first formed. Eve was made a helpmeet for him. After the fall, I don't know how women and men reacted before the fall, because we're only given the history after the fall. And Genesis 3:16 says this, "Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." That's God's word. That's not me. That's what God said. That's the intended role he has. As a weaker vessel, she is not to take authority in the church or in the home. As men no longer lead as they should, women have taken those roles quite often. It's men's fault. Men should be leading. Quite often they don't, and women then take up the slack. So when I'm preaching to women here, I'm also preaching to men, because men have failed miserably in their roles. Women should be silent in the church with authoritative teaching, learning at home, which means men need to take up the role of teaching. We don't lead like we should. We have so many other important ideas as men. So many things we need to do. We've ignored our roles in the family, which is why the family's falling apart, which is why women have taken the roles that men should be leading. Women complete men. They provide what men lack. Once again, Mary supports me fully. She never says a bad word for me. I give her many, many reasons to give bad words for me, and she never does, praise God. Why? Because she is submissive. She does support me. She does help me in the role I have. And I could not do what I do without her. It would be impossible to do what I do without her. And as her head, I must love, honor, respect, teach, and lead her in ways for her good and for her joy. That's my job. That's my calling. I fail miserably at it. I'll tell you that right now. But I'm working at it. And she helps me to work at it. Too much is given, much is expected. We've already talked about it, but once again, men have dropped their given roles. Our country is suffering as women now demand to be men in God's roles. Now, with all this, one might say these verses show that women are inferior to men. God forbid. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 22, listen to what God says. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Christ died for his bride. Now, If you're part of the bride of Christ, if you're part of the church, Jesus Christ died for you. That's how much he thought of you. That's how much we should think of our wives as their head. We're supposed to be a picture of Jesus Christ to our wife. We should have the same care for the gift that God gave us as men. Now, still, you might say, well, she's supposed to submit. Must make her inferior. Well, 1 Corinthians 11:3 says this, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Christ is equal with God. Jesus Christ is God. I am the head of my wife, and yet, as Jesus Christ has God as his head and is equal to God, Mary is 100% equal to me in every way. It's a different role. I'm her head because that's the way God designed the strengths and weaknesses of men and women. But that doesn't make her inferior by any stretch of the imagination, unless you want to say Jesus Christ is inferior to God. If you do, you're living under the apostasy we talked about in Sunday school today. God ordained through his gifting and plan that men and women have roles to teach us about God and to complete each other in love. Read some verses today that I guarantee you, the characteristics that we read, Mary's far better than I am. And women tend to be far better than men. They teach us how to be better men. That is a perfect role. Hopefully, I teach her how to be a better woman. I think she does a better job than I do. That's for a different sermon. Men are suited in their headship roles. God gave us that strength. Women in their submissive roles. Once again, they teach us submissiveness to Jesus Christ by their godly submissiveness to us. We need to pray and honor them for that. We need to make sure they understand that we love them. But one reason that women have demanded the rights is we have demeaned women's roles. Now, back in the 50s and 40s, everyone looked back to such a good time. Women's work, things like that. It was kind of mocked. Shouldn't have been. Once again, you know, what's my job? I got a pretty high-power job. I'm pilot of an airline. Man, I'm a captain. I take those people everywhere. What's my job? I take sinners from point A to point B so they can sin more effectively. For all eternity, what good is that? Not a lot, right? Now, while I was gone, what happened? My wife was with my children, making sure they did their Bible studies, making sure they did everything they needed to do, making sure that they were disciplined the way they should be. For all eternity, which is more important? Did I do more for those kids, or did she? My headship, I was quote-unquote in charge, but it was her labors that made that happen. I have four daughters that right now are serving God. Praise God for it, and Mary probably had more to do with that than I did. Lest you think still that men are superior to women, remember who Jesus showed himself first when he was resurrected. Mary Magdalene was because she showed faith and coming to the grave. She was at the cross as the men cowered away fearful. Her faith earned her that privilege that the apostles did not have that the same faith. So, with all this, we see that woman does have joy. Now, people say, oh, women are so submissive, this, that, and everything. God shows them the joy right here. Genesis 3:16 shows part of a woman's chastisement. In the fall is sorrow in childbearing. What that tells me is before the fall, there is no pain in childbirth. Women, would you like that? There's one, I can't remember who it was, but a pastor was coming quickly to his wife who was giving birth. And as he entered the room, she said, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to kill Eve." And yet we see that a woman is saved from the sorrow in childbearing. Her privilege is to bring forth children who call her blessed, growing and maturing in the care and admonition of the Lord. John 16:21 says this, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more of the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world." A woman has a special bond with that child, a special love with the patience, caring, perseverance, and grace for that child. Now, I've heard it said, I can't remember the whole joke, but I've never heard it said, you know, you look at the man and the woman in the house. The woman, the mother, knows the child's likes, dislikes, what the child's favorite colors are, the birthdays, the special events, make sure everything's perfect, right? The father is kind of aware of the small people in the house. The woman has the attention to detail And God gave her that attention to detail to make sure that those children are raised and they need to be honored and glorified for it. So God gave woman her chastisement with a special joy of caring for that child. Today, women have forsaken the privilege and demanded their rights. Rights to act every bit as sinfully as I do, lowering themselves to men's standard rather than lifting them up by completing them by being submissive in their roles. Rights to abortion that they can destroy the unfortunate products of their immodesty. Rights to no-fault divorce that they can avoid submitting to those husbands they feel are undeserving of that submission. And they're not wrong in that. Huh? I am not worthy of the submission that the Bible calls for her to give me. At the same time, she's not worthy of the love that the Bible calls me to give her. I'm to show her the love that Jesus Christ gave to the church, and she's supposed to be perfectly showing the submission the church gave to Jesus Christ. Neither one of us are worthy of it. None of us are worthy of it. But the whole thing is, the more we work at it, the closer we come, the more joy we have because we're closer to God's perfect plan. Now, I can tell no one here has ever reached that plateau. Because every one of you here has never had an argument with their wife or husband, right? No arguments at all, no disagreements, everything perfect, right? Those of you nodding your hair yes, nodding your head yes, I'm wanting to talk about lying next week. But the whole thing is, that is us learning how to do our roles, how to complete each other. And in the flesh, we want our rights. We want the other person to see it our way. Well, God teaches us through the way he made us, husband and wife, to draw closer together by seeing what the other person's point of view is, by understanding the other person's point of view. And God gave us the different roles to teach us exactly that. So, let us compare a couple things here. They also want the right to work equally with men in the rat race. Earning enough pay for the drug rehab caused by leaving the first love of their children for the world's joy. I told my daughter that. My daughter is very successful working in Boston. And I cautioned her, as you get ready to get married, as you get ready to have children, you know, she's very good at her job. She'll be promoted quickly. But with that comes more responsibilities. Be careful what you do. Because if you get up there, if you earn the huge dollars, it's a drug, it's a trap. And with that trap, you'll start letting someone else raise your kids. And that's what I told her. You'll earn plenty enough money to pay for that drug rehab that they'll need when they're teenagers. Better off never getting there in the first place by putting them in the proper focus. So, let us compare rights and privileges of serving God. Turn to Proverbs 31, verses 23 to 31. Most of you know Proverbs 31. It's often preached on Mother's Day. And it's something we need to contemplate as we look at our families, as we look at Timothy, comparing what we should be doing. So Proverbs 31, starting in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Women, do you want to replace your husbands in the rat race? If you win the rat race, you're still a rat. That's just the case it is. Do you want your boss to praise your organizational skills, your ability to make him more money, your ability to do a good job? Or would you rather hear your children run up to you and say, Mommy, I love you? That is the joy that a lot of the women are leaving behind today as they look at their rights and ignore God's privileges to live his way. It is a joy to serve our God within his plan, with his calling, his commands, his guidance. He gave us an instruction manual. We know how we're supposed to live. Now, ask me, am I living this life? No, I am not. But I work hard at getting closer to it every day. So, It's not a question of are we doing it perfectly. It's a question of where is our focus? Where do we need to put our focus? How do we need to learn how to get closer to Him? With His calling, we have joy in knowing we are accepted. We have joy in seeing a family grow in grace. We have a joy of seeing God's way is the best way, and we draw others to that same joy. So, woman's joy is fulfilled through the role God gave her. And men's joy is honoring that and lifting her up and praising her that she may feel that joy and then give him that same joy. So, looking at the whole thing, bring it all to a close. The world has chosen to focus on worldly rights, forgetting the privilege of serving the living God. As such, they only hear the screeching call of the world's science, falsely so-called, suffering from the rotten fruits of Satan's labors. The rights to enjoy drugs, violence, anger, divorce, broken homes. We have lots of rights. We have all the rights. How well is that working? Pick up your newspaper today and read it. You'll see how well it's working. All because we ignore his still small voice calling to us with the privilege of adoption instead of demanding our rights. So, it's almost impossible to talk and listen at the same time. If we do most of the talking, how can we listen to God? And when I relax, I feel guilty. Author Tim Hansel notes this. An American Indian was in downtown New York, walking with his friend who lived in New York City. Suddenly he said, "I hear a cricket." "Oh, you're crazy," his friend said. "No, I hear a cricket." "I do. I'm absolutely sure of it." It's the noon hour. There are people bustling around, cars honking, taxis squealing, noises from the city. "I'm sure you can't hear it." "I'm sure I do." He listened attentively and then walked to the corner, across the street, and looked all around. Finally, on the corner, he found a shrub in a large cement planter. He dug beneath the leaves and found a cricket. His friend was astonished. But the Cherokee said, "No, my ears are no different than yours. It simply depends on what you're listening to. Here, let me show you." He reached into a pocket and pulled out a handful of change and dropped it on the concrete. Every head within a block turned. "You see what I mean?" he said as he began picking up the coins. "It all depends on what you're listening for." In a church filled with a variety of sounds, the truth rings clear when we close our mouths and train our ears to listen to God's words. What are your ears attuned to? Are you trying to listen to God's still small voice? Or are you listening to the cacophony of sounds demanding rights in this world? If you're listening to God's still small voice and following it, you'll have joy. If you're listening to the world's rights, you'll have them, and you'll have no joy. You'll only argue and want more. Paul today is dealing specifically with women. We can do the same sermon on men next week. It'd be a different sermon, but it'd be basically the same thing. Are you demanding your rights or looking forward to privileges? Today's women are listening to other angry women seeking their rights to show themselves superior to men. But God made women submissive, not subservient. Submissive is a big difference between the two. Not inferior, but superior in all the ways God created her. No? Women want to say they're better than men? They are 100% right. They are 100% better than men at doing the things that women were designed to do. Not doing the things men are designed to do. I am a horrible person when it comes to what women are gifted at. Mary's very good at it. Putting it together is how we have joy in the family. Putting it together is how we have joy in society. The woman seeing her husband known in the gates because of her submissiveness gives her house joy, making his home a home of love and joy only if the man recognizes it and praises her in the gates for it. You know, as I've said, I can't do what I do without Mary. She needs to know that. She needs to hear it. Other people need to know that she is lifted up. You know, mankind tend to tear each other down. Now, how many think here that women and men are different? Few people have read Time Magazine's article of 1999. So, men and women are different. We need to understand that. We need to realize that. And praise God for that difference, because He did it in His wisdom. So if you have a godly wife, today that's a very rare thing. If you have a godly wife, make sure you know, that she knows, that you cherish her. show her you appreciate what she does for you. She has not chosen the world's ways of demanding her rights, but sought the privileges of God's joy in being submissive to you. She needs to be the most important thing to you in this world. If she's not, you are a very poor picture of Jesus Christ. She needs to know that you are the most important thing in this world. And if she doesn't, start working on it. Start praying to God to give her, give you that understanding. Let us teach our daughters to show a true, modest beauty, showing the love of Christ, called to serve Him as He lifted us, having joy in seeing their labors not in vain as they see the joy of husbands known in the gate and their children calling them blessed. There's no better joy than that. God designed us exactly that. We see in His Word how to live. And again, men and women living together as God intended is what brings joy. We want to see back the divorce rate, I think, is what, about 60% in Baptist churches now? I want to see it 0%. How do we see it 0%? Following that. If we do that, we would solve the problem. For that, I need to have Joe come up because...
strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus is my peace. Daily walking next to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee. Dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. My feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
How do you get that closer walk? Revelation 3:20 says that He stands at the door and knocks. If you answer, He'll walk in. He'll sup with you and you with Him. That's what it takes. You don't have a walk with Jesus Christ until you open that door. He knocks on every single person's door. Very few will open it. They do not want to submit to Jesus Christ. Submission is a very bad word in today's language. But that is how you have the joy. That is how you come to Jesus Christ. You submit to Him, He will then walk with you. You'll have the joy it talks about right there. You'll have that close walk with Him. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll give you that joy. And you will live with Him forever in the house of the Lord. But if you leave that door shut, demand your rights in this world, He'll let you do that. And all you'll have is the right to go to hell when you die. Where Mark chapter 9 says three times, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. That's not me saying it, that's Jesus Christ saying it. That is the future of every person who does not accept the fact that they're sinners and put that sin on the cross to let His blood cover it. If there's anybody here who doesn't have that walk, who's never accepted that free gift, I beg you to come up today as Kathy plays one more verse. And I'll show you in the Scripture exactly how to be saved, exactly how to have that walk, exactly how to open that door. If you've never done it, today is the day of salvation. Every breath you take is a gift of God. Every breath you take is by His grace to give you the opportunity to come to Him. With no one answering that particular call, I pray all people are saved. If you're not, come see me after the service.
But at the same time, we need to look. Are you living a joyful life? Do you have a smile on your face when you wake up knowing you're accepted by Jesus Christ? Are you having the joy of following His commands, doing the things He wants you to do? If you don't, and you're saved, it means because you're not walking with Him. You've walked off your own path, demanding your rights, and not living the privilege of honoring Jesus Christ. If that's you today, as we go to prayer, ask God to show you that walk once again. Ask God to renew in your heart a new desire for Him, coming back to your first love, coming back to a close walk with Him, that you could serve Him in spirit and truth and have the joy that you experienced when you were saved. All of us get off that walk every now and then. All of us need to come to the cross every now and then. Admit that. All of us need to rekindle that joy that we once had with our first love. So Kathy's going to play one more verse. We'll pray silently. Altar's open if anyone wants it. That makes it better for you to pray. And as soon as she's done playing the verse, I'll close us in prayer. But just ask God, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I lacking joy because I've turned back? Lord, show me the right way. And He'll do it from His word, by your prayers. Just ask God for that guidance, for that joy, for that wisdom. So you'll come to the altar. The altar is open. If you want to do some business with God, today is the day to do it. Lord's Day. Come to the Lord. There's no embarrassment at realizing you've fallen short. There's no embarrassment admitting you've lost that joy. I have lost that joy in the past because I've turned away. We're stuck with this flesh. We need to return to the altar every now and then to rededicate our lives to God, to come back to that walk, to make it so that we can, once again, have the joy of following God by God's plan. That is the only way to have joy, is to follow the instruction manual, to follow His word, to submit to Him and learn godly submission. Just a couple more seconds of opening. There are people dealing with the Lord right now. Praise God for it. That's how you have joy. Coming to God, asking Him for guidance, admitting your sins if you know you have them in your life, and asking Him to show you where you've fallen short. Just as if you're pulled over and you have ignorance of the speed limit, you don't get a ticket. Ignorance of the law is no excuse in front of God. Have God show you where you've fallen short. Have God show you where you need strength. Have God show you where you need to be lifted up, and ask God to lift you up by however He chooses to do it. The altar is open. I'll close the service. The altar is open. You can pray here all day long if you so desire. You can pray in your house. You can pray wherever you're at. Praise God for it. He is available anywhere. He sits in the Holy of Holies, and He allows us to come whenever He wants. So let's close the service now in prayer. Stay in the altar here all day long if you so desire. Dear Heavenly Father, we read today about godly submission. We give thanks for the godly women willing to have the privilege of serving You in spirit and truth, showing men exactly what godly submission is. I am to submit godly to Jesus Christ, and I do a very poor job of it. My wife helps me to understand that as she submits to me. Lord, let us lift up all the women. Let us lift up the fact that God has made them so much better than men in so many ways, that they can complete men. Let us lift them up and use them as God intended in church services, in our families. And let us praise, honor, and glorify You for for the gifts you've given them, for the spiritual beauty that you show through them, and for the fact that they will complete us if we show the proper love that we're supposed to them. And Lord, we're thankful for the women in this church that have done so much. We're thankful for the work they put forth. We're thankful for the work they do to honor and glorify you. And we're thankful that you have made them the way you make them, that we may learn more about you through them. And Lord, let us remember always, it is a privilege to serve a living God. It is a privilege to be a living sacrifice. It is a privilege to do whatever you call us to do, because we know that our home is with you forevermore. Let us not worry about the rights of living in the flesh. Let us learn the privilege of living in the Spirit. We ask all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.